Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
I spent the weekend on Arizona freeways.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I wasn't here Friday. I drove to L.A. and back, so I spent plenty of time on the beautiful I-10 between here and Blythe.
Nothing better.
Nothing better. Just
scenic.
Thankfully, no serious accidents I saw. Saw some of our troopers. Can I point this out once again? I'm going to say it every time we talk about freeways and talk about law enforcement out there. The law in Arizona, when there is a trooper, fire truck, tow truck on the side of the road, on the right-hand side, move over one lane. Give them a lane. Give them a lane, folks. Work with me on this, okay?
Right.
As we now have plenty of friends out there working the freeways. But we learned that, quite honestly, it is a dangerous, dangerous time on Arizona freeways.
Last Thursday, I told you 76. As of Sunday night, we're at 80. So we've increased 4 over the last several days. From Friday to Sunday, we had 3 more fatalities.
That is Arizona Department of Public Safety spokesman Cameron Lee, Trooper Lee, telling us.
There is not going to be one factor that we can point to and say this is a definite reason that we are seeing an increase in fatalities. It's going to be multiple. But you said one. One of them is we have more cars on our roadways. Our state continues to grow. We're trying to keep up with that growth.
Okay, so I can acknowledge that there's a numbers game going on.
Yeah.
As the population of Arizona grows. Gas price is relatively low, we know.
Yep.
But,
people
more get drivers. Out and drive. More drivers leads to more opportunity for crashes. But there is something else going on, Trooper Lee.
We continue to see the same basic factors in a majority of our crashes. Drivers driving distracted, drivers that are speeding, and we are still seeing drivers not wearing their seatbelt. And that continues to be a big issue for us.
That's the one I don't understand. Okay, as someone who speeds regularly... Show of hands, okay? I spent the weekend speeding, okay? I will acknowledge that.
Did you see mine go up on the air?
Yes. Barry Markson raised his hand in the studio as a speeder. So I will acknowledge that, and Trooper Lee gives me some grief about it when I see him. But, you know, I do think there's times and places where you can play a little with the numbers, okay? But I acknowledge I'm taking a risk.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. What I don't understand is people that don't wear their seatbelts. I just don't understand that.
I agree with you, and I know people who don't wear their seatbelts.
I know people that don't, too, and I look at them like they have got a third eye.
Yeah,
I just don't understand.
I get in the car with them sometimes, and I'm thinking, why aren't you wearing your seatbelt? But they don't like how it feels. They don't like what it does to their clothes, whatever it is. They don't like the government telling them they have to wear a seatbelt.
Give me just something right. If they give you the, I don't like how it feels, and I don't like what it does to your clothes, go, can you imagine what going through the windshield's going to do? Can you imagine how that feels? Can you imagine how that's going to change your blouse
exactly.
or your dress shirt?
It's such a tremendous difference if you're wearing your seatbelt in an accident. The safety that it brings you is incredible.
I race cars. Right. I know specifically.
I'm
thankful. I replace my seatbelts on a regular basis in the race car because I use them, for God's sakes,
right.
you know? And they are there to keep you safe. And maybe that was kind of drilled home at me at a young age. I got to tell you, I'm one of those people. I get in a car. I put on my seatbelt before I turn the ignition on. And if I drive 15 feet without a seatbelt on, like, I feel weird.
Yeah. You know, lately I've gotten in a bad habit where I start putting it on as I'm moving. So I'll start to pull ahead, and I'm putting it on as I'm moving.
Okay.
And I don't know why I do that. I never used to do that.
Well, but you've saved that extra second, Barry. And, I mean, I can only imagine your day is so compartmentalized.
That's right.
Who's got time to put the seatbelt on, then start moving?
Multitasking, Bruce.
But when you take a look at, and according to the Department of Public Safety, when you look at the number of deaths, and again, year to date, we're sitting at 80. 80.
Yeah.
We're not even on the 80th day of the year. So we're looking at 80, and half of those are directly linked to not wearing a seatbelt or driving distracted. Two things that you could change about your habit right this second.
Right. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. And the distracted thing is what's bad. It's the cell phone. People think they can look at their phone while they're driving. They really do.
Well,
I literally drive with people I know who say they don't do it, and I'm driving with them.
And you're watching him do it.
And I'll literally say,
can
you put your phone down when you're driving? And he's like, I'm not looking at it. I'm like, I'm watching you look at it. Like, the addiction
is
so strong.
That you're even not aware of it. I think that's fair. You know, the thing is, if you, I heard this weekend, I was listening to something. You're driving right now, okay? You're on the 51, you're on the 101, you're on the 10. We know a lot of people driving right now.
Right.
Would you close your eyes and drive for the next 5 seconds? Would you just close your eyes for that's 5 seconds and drive?
Right.
Because that's what it's like when you're texting.
That's exactly right.
That's what it's like when you're playing with your phone. You basically are, you've closed your eyes as to what's going on in front of you.
Right. Not even texting, just reading a text. That that beep
right.
goes off and people think
you
they
You turn
have,
your head, you look down.
Yeah, they have to look at it at that very moment.
It's Pavlovian,
moment.
Isn't
yeah,
it?
It really is.
But I admit I'm one of those people. The darn phone vibrates, I have to look at it.
I do, but not in the car.
Yeah.
I'm able to just consciously say I'm not going to look at it in the car. Not all the time, so, not if I'm on – I look at it if I'm at a stop, but but if I'm moving, not a chance.
This is my compromise. Sorry, Trooper Lee. I'm working on this. I'm looking for – a dash-mounted holder for my phone.
That's not good.
No, because I use it as GPS a lot.
Okay.
But since I don't have it on a holder, I have to look down sometimes. I put it
right.
in the cup holder. I don't know. Am I the only one who puts my phone in the cup holder? Put my phone in the cup holder.
Yeah.
So, like, I was driving this weekend. I'm like, you know, turn in. And I got to look down. And I'm like, okay, I need to get that up.
Yeah.
I need to get that where I'm not looking at the cup holder.
That's a good idea.
So, I need to get. Oh, my God. By the way, don't do this. But if you do it, go to Amazon and type in iPhone holder. You know, I was overwhelmed. I couldn't even
right?
order anything. I don't even know where to start. I've got to like test drive a few of these before I can figure out which one I need for my car. But I'm trying to incorporate the technology. Knowing I use the GPS,
yeah.
I use the Waze app a lot.
Love Waze.
If I'm going somewhere I haven't been before, or if there's traffic and I want
right.
to know how to get around it. You know, sometimes Dieter Dan's given me some hints, but I need to find some more
right.
hints on how to get where I'm going. That I'm trying to get the technology up a little higher, you know, and maybe I still believe, and Barry, I don't know where you are on this, so we haven't talked about it. I still believe that the solution to distracted driving is going to be in the technology. That I don't think we're going to, you know, the Luddite in you is not going to get back to, well, we're just not going to have cars and phones. Like, I don't think we're going back to buggies and horse-drawn carriages. We're going to have to get to where the technology is incorporated into the car to the point that it's not as distracting. I really believe that.
Yeah. Maybe there's a way to project
heads-up display,
exactly.
you know, shows up on the windshield or something right. like that. I have a lot of the voice-activated stuff in my car, you know.
Right.
I can talk to it. There, you can talk to Siri in some of your cars. You can be able to talk to Alexa in your car soon.
Right.
I'm on the waiting list for the Amazon in my car.
We're not all that far from where the car will just drive itself, and we can look at our phone as
but
much as
that,
we want.
But maybe is that the natural evolution? Is the way to get around distracted driving that we've acknowledged humans
yeah.
can't do it? So the computer will just drive you where you're going, and you can be as distracted as you want and Instagram all of your selfies while driving the entire route, because I'm really missing out on the selfies.
Can I just ask you this? Maybe
please.
And if you've never asked the Trooper Lee this, maybe ask him the next
already.
Time. How about people who just don't follow the law and move over to the right lane
don't
if
get me
not
started.
Passing?
I've been a proponent. By the way, DPS director Milstead is on our side with this.
Okay.
The left lane campers.
Yeah.
People that drive slow in the left lane. By the way, you know how I know you're driving slow in the left lane? Somebody can get to your back bumper. That's the definition. If someone can get to your back bumper, you're driving slow in the left hand
right.
lane. Period. Full stop.
That's right.
Period. Full stop. You can argue anything you want. If they can get to your back bumper, you're driving too slow.
So why doesn't Chief Milstead have his people pull them over and give him a ticket?
Well,
it's against the law.
I will acknowledge I'm a bit of an extremist when it comes to this, because I advocate for the death penalty on the side of the road. So I will admit that maybe I'm a bookend on this. That left lane campers, that there's only one way to deal with them, and it is through summary execution. But he does say that it's against law, but if I remember correctly, it's not a primary offense. They can't pull you over for it.
Is that right?
I want to say we had this conversation with him because he's tweeted about it before. And boy, I've retweeted that all the time. Get out of the left lane. If you're just driving in the left lane, you're doing it wrong. And here's how I know people are distracted, because I did this all this weekend. Literally, I drove 7 hours over, 7 hours back this weekend to L.A. You know how I know you're not paying attention? When I go to pass you because you're driving in the left lane too slow.
Right.
And I get up next to you and you speed up. You know what that tells me? You weren't paying attention to what you were doing.
Right.
And you only decided to go faster when you saw the fender of my car. Now, when you do that, because I have 700 horsepower, I can go ahead and clear you. I want to assure you, I don't back off the throttle when people do this. I will race you to the next opening. Consider it, I'm on, okay?
Yeah.
I've got the seatbelt cinched tight. I'm tucked down in there. And I'm willing to use all 700 horsepower to get past you.
You will be passing him.
I will. Once I start passing you, I will complete the pass.
It will happen.
It is a matter of honor at that point.
I'm with you on all this, by the way.
Okay.
But well, I like you because you're much more extreme even than I am.
I am an extremist when it comes to this.
And I like
I'm on a left-lane jihad.
It makes me feel more reasonable just sitting here next to you, which
yes.
is good.
Which really ought to say something about you me.
But I got to tell you, I'm looking at the statute right now, 28-7-21. I don't see where it says.
Is it a primary?
I don't see where it says that.
Okay, Trooper Lee. attention, all cops. When you see people driving in the left lane, write them tickets. Pull them over.
I think it's one of the most dangerous things on the freeway. I really do.
Because it forces me to start right. serpentining around you.
Right.
Because when I pass somebody and they're in the right lane,
yeah.
I immediately move over to the right.
I do
not drive in the left-hand right. lane.
Leave the left
I go,
lane. Clear.
I go back and forth, and I move to left to pass, get back to the right. I will not drive in the left lane. I flat won't do it.
If everybody did that, our freeways would have less traffic. There'd be way less accidents. Everything would be better. And they just can't get people to do it. But I'll tell you, in other states, they pull you over.
They do. Summary executions on the side of the road.
I'm
just saying. So we're right now, do nothing. I'm at summary executions. I'm willing to meet in the middle.
You're converting me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Can we drag him behind the car also just to show everybody?
Oh, my God. Your mouth to God's ears. Barry Markson in for Pamela Hughes today. We've got a lot more to talk, including Michael Jackson, his reputation besmirched. How about questionable? I mean, if you're being fair, I think questionable reputation at this point.
Yes.
Right?
Besmirched?
Besmirched?
It's mild.
I'm trying to be kind to a certain extent. But a children's museum is removing the Michael Jackson exhibit. Where have you guys been exactly that now is when you're removing the Michael Jackson exhibit? We're going to talk about it.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
I don't want you to be an American idiot, okay? Aim higher. Barry Markson, in for Pamela Hughes today. It's great to have you with us today, Barry. Thank you for joining us. Glad you can make some time for us. So, did you watch the Leaving Neverland documentary? Are you one of the people that watched
it? I did not watch it.
Okay, I did.
Did you?
I watched it. Now, I want to say that in a previous life, I worked in the music industry. I had met Mr. Jackson on multiple occasions. I've been to Neverland.
Oh.
I never saw anything untoward. I never witnessed him do anything inappropriate around children. Full stop, okay?
Well, was he a little handsy with you?
No.
Are you upset about that now?
Not in the slightest.
Looking back?
Looking back, no. I wasn't in the age bracket, if you watch the Leaving Neverland, where the two men in the documentary that aired on HBO a couple weeks ago were 7 and 10 years old, respectively, when they were recruited, preyed upon, according to them, their testimony, if you will, by Michael Jackson. But I think it is fair to say, and as someone who, again, worked in the music industry, the rumors about Michael Jackson had been going on for quite some time. The idea that this is a shock in any way, shape, or form, you have to – there's a level of cognitive dissonance that goes on if you're like, what, Michael Jackson and children? Never heard about it.
There have been public accusations before,
there
right?
There
have
lawsuits.
Been lawsuits.
Yeah. There were million-dollar payouts
right.
to end these lawsuits. Okay, so it has been going on. And those of us in the music industry – and I would say this – I after watching the documentary, Barry, I regretted kind of giggling at and the jokes that I made. Because when I saw the victims and saw what it did to them, it made it very different. This wasn't, Michael Jackson likes little boys, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you know, and you make some joke about it too. Oh my God, this, you know, this has fundamentally changed these men's lives.
Yeah, this is real.
As well as other people. So
right.
explain to me how the world's largest children's museum, which is in, by the way, in Indianapolis, in case you were concerned. No Place, Indiana has the world's largest children's museum, but they said they are removing Michael Jackson artifacts from a display there. Specifically, it's part of the Ryan White. Do you remember Ryan White? That was the boy in the 80s who contracted HIV through a blood transfusion, if I remember correctly. And he became like a face of AIDS that was different from what you heard and how everyday people could somehow do this. I remember Michael Jackson had befriended him at some point. I remember seeing videos of them. Ryan White died in 1990. They did. And so they have this display, but you have a children's museum with Michael Jackson memorabilia. I'm just surprised as to why it took 2019 in March for the Children's Museum of Indianapolis to say maybe the MJ stuff's too much.
Yeah, it seems like that. You're right. Especially at a children's museum, it shouldn't be there.
Where are they on the R. Kelly display? Have they come to a conclusion on that one?
It's really bad. And Michael Jackson has a multiple wax figures at Madame Tussauds in Las Vegas, and I think they're still there.
They're still there.
I'm just looking it up. It's still there. Even
so,
after
where's
this.
The line? The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. There's probably a glove, you know, and stuff like you know what I'm saying?
Hey, people kept running up to OJ to take pictures with him after.
Well, that's because OJ's innocent.
Everything. So. Well, of course. But after everything that happened,
a joke.
We seem to have this desire to. Even if we believe it and we know it's real, people still want to take the picture. Maybe because is it just a negative sense of awe? So, I don't know what that is.
I think that's interesting you say that. No, because I think there is something to be said for. And I can acknowledge, and I have friends that loved Michael Jackson, that they can't separate the fact that he can be a musical genius, an icon, somebody whose music inspired them,
right,
and also be a really bad guy in private. Like, they can't
do it.
It's one or the other for them.
Yeah.
I can acknowledge both. I can acknowledge he's a musical genius who I believe also preyed on children.
It's interesting to me that I haven't heard the call to stop playing Michael Jackson music. Remember when Roseanne, just a couple years ago, made those awful statements and they canceled her new show?
Canceled her TV show.
Right. And TV Land took off the old show. We couldn't even watch the old show in reruns anymore because she made a statement. And here's Michael Jackson did what appears he did.
Yeah.
And we're still playing his songs and still going and taking pictures with him at the Mac.
You know, when I hear the Michael Jackson songs, though, I heard one this weekend. Like on one of those Muzak, I was in a restaurant somewhere,
right.
And I was like...
Yeah, makes you think about it.
I listen to the lyrics, and I run them through what he did with little boys, and it ruins the songs.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, it ruins the songs.
No, I believe it. I believe it.
A proposed law in Nevada would allow police to check your phone to see if you were using it while you were driving. Is this even remotely legal? We're going to talk about it. Barry says no. We'll talk about it next on Arizona's News Station.
Arizona's News Station. KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
You know, we just talked earlier about the number of deaths on Arizona highways. We know distracted driving is a big issue, a problem out there. But our neighbors to the northwest, the state of Nevada, where Las Vegas is located, I'm led to believe, says they're going to take it maybe a bit of a step further. Now, while many states ban texting and driving, and Arizona might be the next one we hear, it's right around the corner.
Right.
Nevada wants to become the first state that allows police to, I'm going to use the term, confiscate your cell phone and determine whether or not you were using it before, during, or after an accident.
Yeah, I mean, this is unbelievable. So right now, the police can't just take your phone. They can't require you to give them the password, although I do wonder about with Face ID how that works exactly. Because what if they just take your phone and just show it to your face and it opens it up and now they can look at whatever you've been doing?
I don't like that.
I don't either. So this is a big change now. And just for traffic accidents, we're not talking about terrorism. We're not talking about murder.
No.
We're talking about if they pull you over.
Fender bender.
And they think something's going on, they can say, let me see your phone.
Right, or they just think you're driving while distracted.
Right. And think about this for a second. This is akin to them coming over to your house because somebody said your dog's been barking too much and them going through your files. That's what you're doing here.
Going through your home security system to determine whether or not it picked up your dog barking. Because what they have is it's a device known as the textilizer.
Yeah.
You've heard of a breathalyzer, right?
Yeah.
Welcome to the textilizer. If this measure passes in Nevada, and some of you that might drive up to Vegas or you take your drive up there, as soon as you cross the Pat Tillman Bridge, you may be subject to the textilizer, where if they pull you over, they can attach it to your phone. All right? The textilizer attaches to it and looks for user activity, such as the opening of Facebook Messenger. They say it doesn't access your personal information. But they say a lot of things I don't believe, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist by nature.
They're plugging a computer into your phone. They could be, for all we know, copying your entire phone onto their system. We don't know what they're able
to. Well, there is a definite First Amendment issue with this.
There's no question about it. Now, maybe there's a way to do it. You know, like the black box that's on cars now, and you and I can't download that.
No.
But there's specific technology that can do that.
If there's been an accident.
Right.
I don't know. Do most people know that, do you think?
I think so nowadays.
You think nowadays?
Maybe.
There is a data recorder, for lack of better terms, in your car.
Right.
And in the event of a major accident, not if you're in a fender bender or you pull, that data can be analyzed to determine what happened during the accident.
Right. It'll give you 5 or 10 seconds of before the accident and show you your speed, your steering, your braking. It'll show you anything that happened.
Won't show if you're texting in the car.
No, doesn't show that. So I wonder if they could do this and limit it to just showing what happened in the 10 seconds before the accident. Go back 10 seconds. How your phone will know exactly when the accident occurred, I don't know. That'd be the only problem.
Right.
But
in a lot of phones, there's an accelerometer. I hope I'm using that word right.
Yeah.
That maybe if there was an accident and a sudden jolt, that your phone would be able to determine, oh, there was this event that happened.
And then give them 10 seconds before that to see if you texted or...
I'm uncomfortable.
I am too.
I'm genuinely uncomfortable with the idea. But think about this. Well, then how do you prove it?
Yeah.
How if you pull somebody over and say, you were driving while distracted and playing with your phone, you'd say, how do you know? Well, you were having trouble staying in your lane. Yeah, I just wasn't paying attention.
Right.
Well, you were looking down and at your phone. No, that's where my soda was.
Yeah.
I was drinking a soda.
Or even if you were looking down and that's where your phone was. Is that
I dropped crumbs on the floor.
People used to, all the time, they'd drop a CD back in the old days.
Oh, my God.
And they go to
Barry Markson. How old is Barry Markson? He's CD old. I'm kidding.
At least it's not an 8-track.
No, at least he didn't say that. Dropped an 8-track, had to go. That would be fantastic.
Those were the old days.
Those were the days, for God's sake.
But I got to tell you, this is bad. And if we get to a point where states are going to say that the police can take your phone and download information from it because you were in a car accident without a court order, now we're opening ourselves up to some real privacy.
And basically, your phone would be witness against you in a criminal proceeding.
It's really bad. We'll have to marry our phones to get the privilege. That's what we're going to have to do. And most people would do that anyway because they love their phones.
They do love your phone more than you love other things. There's no doubt about it. I think there is, again, we get into this discussion. There has to be a – technology got us into this problem. Technology has to get us out of this problem.
Yeah.
But when the First Amendment, the founders – the framers of the Constitution talked about a First Amendment right, and also they talked about rights against illegal search and seizure, the fact that the government can't go through your personal effects, your papers is how they literally called it back then.
Yeah.
They couldn't envision cell phones, obviously, but your cell phone is your personal papers.
It absolutely is.
It is your private information, personal information, and what used to maybe be kept in a filing cabinet a generation ago is now kept in your phone.
Right.
And any more than a law enforcement without a warrant can come in and just confiscate your file cabinet. We're just going to go through your filing cabinet until we find something you think you did wrong. They can't go through your phone until they come up with something you think you did wrong.
And it's the same thing with your laptop. I mean, take it into the technology.
Sure.
The police can't come take your laptop and see everything that's on your laptop without a warrant. Now, let's talk about the other side of it, though.
Okay.
The guy who's really a big proponent of this is a guy that actually lives in New York, and his 19-year-old son died in a car crash where the driver had been texting. I mean, I get that. I'd be furious with somebody
You would be on a mission.
Absolutely. And that's so he went there, and he talked to this panel in Nevada that's considering this, and he said that, and he gave the example that when he was growing up, drunk driving was kind of a joke, which is true, right? We didn't really think about it that much. We knew it might be bad, but there wasn't really a lot of laws against it, and they weren't enforced where they were.
It was frowned upon, but it didn't make you the scourge of society.
And now the device use is kind of a joke, right? We get on the roadway, we watch somebody weaving in traffic or drifting out of their lane, and you know it's because they're looking at their phone.
Yeah, what's going on.
And we laugh a little bit, but now it's not funny anymore. People are dying now.
Well, and is that going to be the thing? And I've said this before. I like to repeat myself when I think I make a good point. Using drunk driving as an example, where people used to drive drunk and the joke was, well, you just put one hand over your eye, get rid of the... I'm telling you, you haven't heard these before.
I know.
You know, I'm only going this far. How tough can it be, right? There are stories. The police would help you get home. They'd pull you over and they'd follow you home so you got home safely, okay?
Right.
Now, too, we throw you in jail for drunk driving. So that changed. And think about this. You're at a party. And somebody goes to drive drunk, like, you know, people are throwing their bodies like Secret Service agents in front of bullets to stop you from getting behind the wheel of the car. It has become socially unacceptable to drive drunk.
Yeah.
When is it going to become socially unacceptable to text while you're driving?
That's what we need.
Because we had the survey done locally here where 90-something% of Arizonans believe we should not have a no texting while driving law.
Yeah.
I did my own personal survey by looking around, and 90-something percent of people text while driving. So it's not that you are the law's not to stop me. It's to stop that other idiot over there.
It's like we all used to say we could drink, and I'm okay when I'm drinking and driving.
I'm better driver after I've had a few drinks. Right. Tell me you haven't heard that before,
now
it's, right?
And everybody looks around at the texting people now and says, we got to stop this texting, but I can do it. I'm able to look down quickly. I look up. It's never more than a second.
It's going to have to be a concerted effort.
Hey, have you subscribed to the Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes podcast yet? I have. Yeah. Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Bruce and Pamela podcast, brought to you this week by Novacure.
All right, looking at the big story of last week. Remember the bribery scam? Get your kids into elite schools and yes. USC. Remember that?
Yes.
We separated USC from the elite schools, by the way. Elite schools and USC.
And USC.
How much would you pay to get your kid into Harvard, Yale, Stanford?
I'd pay a lot.
Maybe there ought to just be a bidding system. Maybe eBay them. Tell you what, we're going to put them up for bid. We're going to talk about that next on Arizona's News Station.
Arizona's News Station. KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
I realize I might be a little bit in the minority. Barry Markson in for Pamela Hughes today. When the whole celebrities, CEOs, rich people bribing, buying their ways into kids into college. Not only was I not surprised, I assumed it had been going on forever. And there is a certain measure that I took where there are a variety of different ways that parents attempt to give their kids a leg up over that damn kid down the street. They want their kid to get into school of choice, not that one.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about a matter of degrees.
Yeah. No, there's no question. And parents do this now. I mean, and it's not just in college. It starts much earlier. We did a story on Friday about an Oregon elementary school that was did an auction at a PTA fundraiser where you could pick your child's teacher for next year.
Auctioning the teachers.
Yeah. And then they ended up giving the money back because people got all upset that the poor people couldn't bid and it wasn't fair and all these things. So they stopped doing it. But
can I throw in something else?
Sure.
When you look at this, if you can pay for your kid to have SAT prep classes.
Yeah.
Is that cheating?
I don't think it's cheating.
The poor kids can't do that.
Right.
If your kid goes to Brophy or Notre Dame Prep and the other kid goes to a public school, is that cheating?
Right. Well, and it happens in sports. Is it cheating if your kid goes to a club, a team?
Has a private tutor or coach that helps them throw a football or baseball or basketball?
Gets professional sports training that other kids aren't going to get.
So my argument is it's a matter of degrees.
Right.
And parents spend whatever money they have to give their kid the leg up. Some of them have $6 million, apparently, to bribe their kid into USC, which means they got a ton of disposable income sitting around.
That's exactly
Others
right.
can only afford an SAT tutor.
But if you had the opportunity, and it was legal. To pay to get your kid into a Harvard or a Yale, one of the Ivy League schools, a school that arguably might open doors that other schools may not.
Just having that on your resume.
Right, that you went to Harvard, that's going to get people to open a door for you for an interview, for graduate school, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
Would you pay for that? Would you pay whatever feels right for you, a number that you can afford? So if you have a retirement account that has $500,000 in it, would you pay $100,000 or $150,000 if it meant your kid, who's kind of qualified, maybe not going to get in for sure on her grades? And it's
a 3.5 GPA.
Yeah. But would you pay $150,000 for your son or daughter to go to Harvard?
I think plenty would say yes.
I think they would too. And that's kind of what we were seeing here. Now, this was cheating. This was illegal. This was a different thing. But I don't think it's a surprise that parents are doing whatever they think they can to help their kids.
Again, my point is it's not a surprise in the slightest.
Yeah.
It's the extreme
as
to what some parents will do. And, you know, they call this, it's kind of funny. We've heard helicopter parents.
Right.
The helicopter parents are the ones. By the way, helicopter parents, so 2011. All right? So 2012. That helicopter parents would hover over their kids. And when little Johnny or Sally fell down, phew, they were there to scoop up and pick them right back up. You didn't even scratch your knee. I caught you before you hit the ground.
That's right.
We've moved on. And I think you could make an argument that the parents involved in the bribery are not helicopter parents. They call them snowplow or bulldozer parents because they are out front of the maggot, out front of their kids, paving a path perfectly straight and level.
Let me
just snowplow or bulldoze the path for you so that little Johnny or Sally can skip along and never encounter a bump in the road.
That's right. You walk along this road, you're going to get to where you want to be. You don't have to climb over anything. You won't have any adversity. You don't have any problems.
You know,
and you're right.
I think there's a lot of hypocrisy to go around, though, in this entire thing. And some of the outrage I find a little bit on the hypocritical side, because I think if you were truly objective, you could, and we've seen this before, you could make the argument that a Harvard education is not in and of itself uniquely different from an ASU or U of A education.
That's right.
In specific fields. It is the cachet that Harvard, by the way, has certainly cultivated.
Right.
That you need to go here.
It's that brand.
And it's the brand, and it is the other Harvard elites that you hang out with who become your social network, who end up helping you get a job. It's other Harvard alum who look to take care of it, and that it's become like this cult of personality. And Stanford has a certain measure of it. Yale has a certain measure of it. We're talking about the elite schools.
Yeah.
And USC. That all these schools have a bit of a cachet about them. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do.
But they are complicit in that.
Right.
Harvard's not telling you, hey, it's the same education you can get over at NAU.
Right.
If you're going to be insert your field here.
Right.
They have no vested interest in saying that. They have a vested interest in telling you can't possibly get a better education than right here.
And their graduates then want their kids to go there because, God forbid, they don't.
It feeds upon itself.
Yeah.
It feeds upon itself.
And
so they've created the system where people are willing to bribe you to get into these places by claiming you're a member of the water polo team, even though you're like, I swear to God, this horse is going to drown.
I love that, though, because under this scenario, I could be a star athlete. I love it. The New York Times bestseller Sisters-in-Law comes to the Phoenix Theater Company April 3rd through the 28th. Just head to the rewards page at ktar.com for your chance to win tickets.
Yeah. Who is controlling what you see on the Facebook? By the way, if you're one of those people that keeps posting that thing that says, I'm posting this so I can see more than this, it's not how it works. It's not, you're doing it wrong, by the way. It's a hoax.
We're amazing, aren't we?
It's like every 3 months I see people, I'm like, are we back to this again?
We'll fall for anything.
Oh, my Lanta. But there are people, actual humans, making editorial decisions on what you do or don't see on places like Facebook, and maybe no better example than the horrific shooting last week in New Zealand. We'll tell you the numbers and what Facebook and YouTube and the Google say they're doing behind the scenes to try to protect you from these videos, thoughts, ideas. We're talking about it next on Arizona's News Station.